All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here with Doug Thornton, and he's Doug Thornton of American Vindicta. I'm Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, and together we are the Doug and Dave Intel Report. And you can see in the background here, we have Pastor Langford with us, and we're honored to have him. And as you know, our work here is decidedly Christian, unapologetically and proudly. And we're going to talk about America going down the wrong path. Pastor, before I let Doug take this away, I wanted to tell you, I was in bed trying to recover this morning from whatever I've got, and I watched this show on the History Channel about if the Earth encountered a black hole and it gets torn apart piece by piece, not even dust is left, not even a molecule is left. And I thought, that would be appropriate punishment for our reprobate ways. That was the thought that crossed my mind. Anyway, welcome to the show, Doug. Let me throw it over to you, and let's take this away.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching this special. We have on with us a very good guest, a man that we've been trying to get on for a while, Pastor David Langford. And, you know, Pastor, we were talking pre-briefing what exactly the topics we want to go over. I'll be honest with you. I speak to a younger generation of men that I'm trying to raise up to come out of the gutters. And we're all getting caught up in politics. We're all getting caught up in this mess with the UFOs and aliens. But the sins of the nations, especially America's nation, it's kind of being overshadowed by all the politics. You have this Pride Month going on, which I hate to even say it. I hate to even give word to it, because I don't believe in reprobate month. And then you have the LA Dodgers, who bring on a satanic group of men who dress up as nuns. And it's disgusting to watch. And because this goes on to YouTube, we you know, can't talk about everything. So we call this group of people amphibians, because that seems to match their prerogative. I can't help but think, Pastor, we're due for a good clobbering from God at this point. We have completely turned reprobate at this rate. What do you say to that?
Well, there's no doubt that America is ripe for judgment. The Bible said in Jeremiah 2:32, "Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." And the more a nation forgets God, the more wicked that nation becomes. I believe it was last week on one of the networks, the host just passed away, Alex Trebek. What's the name of that program?
Jeopardy.
Jeopardy. So they gave a clue. Our Father, which art in heaven, and left out a blank, thy name. No one knew hallowed at all.
Wow.
None of the contestants knew that was the refrain. And I'm thinking, my God, we are raising a generation of people who do not know God. Now, that happened to Israel. Judges chapter 2, verse 10 says, "And there rose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord." And so we witness that in the paganism. Well, we're witnessing paganism, heathenism, the most perversity, the most wickedness that could be imagined is taking place in America. And this is supposed to be a Christian nation. Now, I know a lot of people say we're going to take this nation back, but this nation will never be taken back without a move of God.
You know, I hear people tell me that all the time. We can right the wrongs of this nation. We can put America back. We can make America great again. And I know even Donald Trump said it. That was his motto for a while. But I firmly believe that as long as we still have the high places that people go and pray to their false gods, as long as we still have the ritual places where people go and murder children, and as long as we still elect these, I don't know what word I can use that correlates to this, but evil people, who have thrown Jesus out of everything, replaced it with anything paganism, not just one thing, anything paganism. There's no coming back. There's no coming back. I don't know why we can't just bulldoze all the abortion clinics. But you can't stop there. You can't stop there. You have to go after everything, because that's what, isn't that what God made his people do? You tear down everything.
He made them destroy everything, kill everything. So the reason he did that was so the people could not learn the heathenistic ways. If there's a residual residue left behind, he knew Israel would pick that up. So it is in America. You know, I'm an ultra conservative minister. I believe in living right. I believe in prayer. I believe in fasting. I believe in living a godly and righteous life. But today that is mocked, sadly. And you know this to be a fact. We got people who smoke dope, they drink liquor, they watch pornography, and they'll tell you on the next breath, I'm a Christian. Christians do not live lives of sin. I don't teach, I don't preach, I don't believe in sinless perfection. We all make mistakes, but I'm talking about a lifestyle. And that's what's happened to America. Just like out there, the LA Dodgers, that perversity is a lifestyle. That vulgarity is a lifestyle. Congress and Senate are both so vile and venal, but that is a lifestyle. That's who they are. That's what they are. And so, as you well said, it all must be bulldozed down. On my weekly radio programs, I've been teaching on for quite some time. We're over it now. But I taught on Josiah, and he had this great revelation from God. And the first thing he went and did in his reformation, he didn't bulldoze them, didn't have bulldozers there, but he tore down the houses of the Sodomites. He bulldozed them down. He got rid of that stuff, all the false idols, all the false gods, all the false deities. He burned them, and then he took the ashes and poured them over the graves of those who had died during that time, meaning you died in corruption. You died in wickedness, and that your destiny is hell. He was making a very valid point there. And I'm going to say something here. I don't believe Donald Trump will be reelected as president. That's not a word from God. That's what I believe in my heart. They're going to do something to stop us from ever getting in the right direction. And that's why we have to have divine intervention. You know, I like Donald Trump. I like what he did for us. But a man can't save a nation. It's going to take God to save America. And America can only be saved when we turn to him and repent of our sins and show remorse and sorrow. Psalms 9:17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. That's a pretty crass Bible scripture, but it's the truth. And America has forgotten God. God is a genie in a bottle to most people. They get in trouble. They have a difficulty. They have something come into their life that they're struggling with, and they say, God, help me. The rest of the time, they could care less about God. God is not a hard taskmaster. But if we love him, we will serve him. And we won't just honor him with our mouth and with our lips. That's what Christ said in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. He said, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. That word vain there means worthless. He says, what you offer as worship is worthless to me because your heart is not in it. It's just with your mouth you honor me. But when you walk out of my presence, you go back to living the old lifestyle, and it can't be that way.
You know, Pastor, I was recently doing a Bible study. On my show, I do multiple weekly Bible studies. And I was actually the one that was going over with my children. We were talking Joshua 24, starting from verse 6, when God says that I brought your fathers out of Egypt and crossed the sea, and then bringing them into the new country and talking about all the tribes that they had to go and defeat. And then Eventually it leads into choose whom you will serve, and then Continuing the conquest of Canaan. And the people of God stopped defeating, and they allowed them to live and to live amongst them, and they called them unclean people. And then it says, you know, to this day, this group still lives in Israel with these people. And to this day, this group of people still live in this area with these people. What I got out of that is that we had the ability with this great American experiment to separate ourselves from kings and queens and monarchs, to separate ourselves from empires, and to create something very special. Our forefathers called it a new Israel. That was the originality of America. And we went completely the other way within probably 5 or 6 years of creating America. But the spirit, I believe, was there in the people. And it's been replaced with everything now that's debauchery. And because we didn't continue that conquest, and I believe that conquest isn't, you know, driving people out of the land. I think that conquest was driving the spirits out of us.
Right.
And we stopped that. We allowed the church to be intermingled with unclean people. Now look at it. The Lutherans have, you know, gay ministers that are up there. And there's a guy that's in Austin, and I don't want to be anywhere near the radius of this church when the fire falls from the sky. But he said, it's time to admit that God is transsexual. And I'm sitting here like, I hope my phone doesn't explode in my hand as I watch this. And there's no fear of God in America. No one trembles at the name of God. And just like when you read in Judges, America's eventually going to be captured, taken over, enslaved like the people were. And I don't know if we're going to have a judge raised up for us. I don't know America's future. I don't think anyone can say that we would have a righteous judge, you know, one after another of those being raised up. And like the judges, everything was great while the judge was swinging the sword and winning. And then when he died, the people forgot him. The children forgot him. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. That's where we are now. That's where we are.
Absolutely. You brought out a very valid point. Let me commend you profusely for trying to reach the young people. You know, I see such a need there because I'm telling you, young people don't know anything about God. But, you know, Joshua, he conquered 31 consecutive kingdoms. And this is where we have a failure in leadership. You see, Joshua succeeded Moses. But when Joshua died, nobody took up the mantle. They were not there. Now, I don't know who's to blame for that, the responsibility, where it lies. But there was a failure of leadership. So then God began to raise up judges where they would judge 20 to 40 years. And like you well said, they would be set free, victorious, fall back into sin, victorious, fall back into sin. Well, that's what's happened to America. And you alluded to Romans 3:18, where Paul said there's no fear of God before their eyes. That's the problem with America. The principal part of knowing who God is, it means to fear him. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. As we try to permeate our society with wisdom and instruction, people don't like that. But don't reprove me, don't rebuke me, don't correct me, don't instruct me. That is in perpetuity in this land. Therefore, people do any and everything that they want, and it's accepted. What one generation is willing to tolerate, the next generation accepts. And today, we've been tolerating homosexuality when it really began to explode in the 80s, and everybody began to come out of the closet. I say everybody, that's rhetorical. They come out of the closet, then we had AIDS, and all of those things begin to happen. But now we accept it because it was tolerated. And so now you have young people who have the cliche, love is love, whether it's two men, two women, or whatever. But see, that's a lie. I have four children, four grandchildren. I have different kind and depths of love for my children, my grandchildren, my wife. I even love my dogs, but I don't love them on the same level as I love my family. And so when people say love is love, that's not true. That is a lie. And God gave a man made a man to love a woman and a woman to love a man. Men are to be the sole lovers of women. Women are to be the sole lovers of men and nothing else. And apart from that, it's perversity. It is wicked. And, you know, under the Obama administration, they adjudicated the 14th Amendment and said that the homosexuals have the right to marry. And I was studying the Bible one day, and it come to my mind, why do homosexuals want marriage? What is so paramount that they want that? If you want to live like that, live like that. But the scripture says in Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. They want honor. They want God's honor because God instituted marriage, not man. When God made Adam and Eve, he married them in the garden, spiritually speaking. Adam said, she's flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. Let a man depart from his mother and father, cleave to his spouse. That's what they want. And they got it on paper, but not in the sight of God. But they want me and you to recognize that as something honorable and acceptable, but it's not. And we have to keep standing strong and not yielding or capitulating to any of this stuff. But you're going to see more and more of this in the end. And another thing, the Lord showed me this 20, 25 years ago. As the homosexual community becomes more militant, you'll then realize we're coming near the coming Lord is very near. Why? Because in Genesis 19, when they pressed upon Lot's house, they said, we want to know these men. That word know in the Greek and the Hebrew is yada. It's number 3045 when you're strong, exhaustive concordance. Yada, that's the Hebrew word. It means to know someone sexually. And many times people say yada, yada, yada. They shouldn't say that because they don't know what they're saying. But these men, it said young and old, pressed upon the door. The angel smote them with blindness, and they continued to grope at the door to get to the angelic host. And the Lord showed me, when you see the militancy begin to arise in the homosexual community, he said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be also in the coming of the Son of Man. So we can see that militant spirit rising up. And I've often wondered, because Lot said, well, I've got two daughters.
Yep.
Take them, do what you want to do with them, what seems good in your eyes, and if you and do what you want to them. They said, no, we want to know those men. If you don't let us know them, we will do worse to you. Now, I don't know what's worse in that sphere because I don't live there. I don't know. But there's obviously some more perversity that as a heterosexual, I'm not even aware of in my mind. But they were going to do something worse than sodomize Lot. And so that's militancy. With this barbarity, it's a spirit of death. And it rises up. And if they don't get what they want, they'll do what the enemy does. Kill, steal, and destroy.
Oh, they are doing that. I wanted to go back to something the two of you had mentioned, and it was they don't fear God. I think they do, but they mock God. And here's what I mean by that. If they didn't fear God, they wouldn't be engaged in Christian persecution. And they are beginning to persecute Christians. If you're praying in front of an abortion center, you might have the FBI come and kick your door down and put guns to your kids' heads. That's fear of God, because it's a pastor. Do they have the fear of God necessary to change their ways? No, they do not. But I do think they're concerned. Maybe that's the better word, Pastor. They're concerned. Otherwise, they would just leave Christians alone, and they don't.
Well, the enemy's working through them. And they do that because they realize we may get a stronger hold than they have, and they get suppressed. And they're trying to turn the tables on us. You know, fundamentally, Christian people just want to live quiet and peaceable lives and live for the Lord. That's one of the sad things that's happened to the church in the last 75 years. We've been afraid to speak out. We've been afraid to get involved in politics. We're afraid to say anything or do some things because, well, we might be persecuted for that. You know, you got the Colgate smiling preacher down there in Houston, Texas, who's for everything. You know, Jesus is nothing but love and goodness and mercy and grace. That's just one side of God. You know, God revealed his wrath to you and I through the Bible, through the Word of God. We have history of the Noahic flood. We have the history of destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. And everybody will say to me, well, that's Old Testament. 2 Peter 2:6 says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. That was a cremation. He cremated Sodom and Gomorrah. The book of Jude says, and the cities about them. That's what God thinks about sin. And Peter says, that's an example of what God will do to us today. But see, the Colgate smile says, no, that's not the kind of God that we serve. God has a positive side and God has a negative side.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of these pastors, preachers, whatever they call themselves, wolves in sheep's clothing, which is an insult to the wolf. I love wolves, so I hear this saying, I'm like, wolves in sheep's clothing, that's a rabid dog is all they are. If you have never read Lamentations, and you know, Pastor, being in my military past, I know quite a lot about historical accuracy, at least, in siege warfare. And the Old Testament will scare you when you talk about siege warfare, about a city being cut off to the point that the women are eating their children, right?
Right.
What was it? A head of a donkey was like 70 pieces of silver, or it was something like astronomical. Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's people don't think about this, and I'll tell you why. And this is my opinion. Both my grandfathers coming out of World War II, God-fearing men, hardcore men, could take a still warm engine out of a truck with their hands and hang it from a tree. With just, you know, chain poles and rope, you know, I mean, those men are gone.
Right.
And those cars are gone too. Now they're all electric, but that there was an air of steadfastness, endurance, and still a open, loving faith in God and our ancestors, our forebears, our most closest ancestors. And that disappeared. Once the Nazi regime came over here with Operation Paperclip, we brought over all the fundamentalism of occultism. And also from that, you know, 1900s until now, for about 70, 80 years, communism exploded. Communism exploded with occultism in America. And you didn't see much from the church coming out about it and standing up against it. And so this stuff just started to pop up everywhere. And now almost every single active shooter has something occult-like attached to them, or as Dave knows very well, has a very, I don't know, would you say, an abuse of the SSRI, Dave? The chemical that...
Very much so.
That we give kids to try and control them. There's no strictness in young people anymore from their elders. And I think more or less we've grown complacent. We've grown fat on our victory. We don't yearn for things anymore. If we were in the 1800s, this conversation wouldn't be happening. If we're in the 1800s, you people would be at church three times a week. If we're in the 1800s, every one of you'd have a garden. You would know how to sew, blacksmithing, you'd know how to hunt. You wouldn't be doing this. Dave and I wouldn't be doing this. We'd be too busy trying to survive. But Amen. Because of the technology, we just let everything go. And I think with that, we let go of the one thing that we should be rooted to. And that's one of the biggest failings of America. Look at Joe Biden. He's probably the worst president in our history, at least the most corrupt in our history, and the FBI won't even do anything about it. Hillary Clinton has 18 felonies. Nah, we'll let her go. I dare any of you to try and go and commit a felony. You're going to prison. Well, I say that. We arrested over 200 people in Portland that all had multiple felonies, and the Department of Justice let them all go. So we're in an age of lawlessness right now, would you say, Pastor?
That's what Jesus said. Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And that word iniquity in the Greek is lawlessness. And, you know, you're talking about looking back in the past. You know, I come from a broken home. My grandparents raised me. But every night before we went to bed, we read the Bible and prayed. See, that's lost today. Hardly anybody reads their Bibles and prays anymore before they even go to bed. Christianity is a lifestyle. It is something that we live daily. We have sensitive consciences. If we see $10 on the floor and there's a man standing beside it, we pick up the $10 and say, "Is this yours?" Where now we stick it in our pocket, but we don't give that courtesy because we've let our consciences to become so infected with sin. It's destroy him and let me get all I can get for me. And courtesy, hospitality, all of those things are gone. What you're talking about is a godly fear and reverence that your grandfathers had. Their parents taught them the right way. As you well said, they went to church, they prayed, they read their Bibles, they survived off of the land, they knew how to do everything. I remember my grandparent spending, my grandmother and her sister, my Aunt Minnie, my great Aunt Minnie, would spend weeks sitting in the kitchen cutting quilt patches about 6 inches square and just cut them forever and ever. Then they would take that and they had a frame and they would sew all of those patches together. Then they would go to town and buy the cotton and roll it out. And then they put that second sheet on there. Then they would sew every bit of that together. That's called a patch quilt. That's old fashioned. Those things are worth a lot of money. And they have a lot of characteristic about them because they were made out of anything. No. They'd take any piece of cloth that was still usable and make it a part of that quilt. Well, see, all of those things are gone. This generation, throw it away, get you another one. Everything has been lessened. Everything has been cheapened. Marriage, responsibility, raising your children correctly. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. We're not training our children like you, dedicating your children. We're trying to do the right things for preservation. God can preserve us if we look to him. If we don't look to him, we will be lost. We will perish, just like John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. So if we don't have Christ, we perish. If we have Christ, we'll live eternally. Big difference.
Pastor, Matthew 24, the master speaks about wars and rumors of wars. Obviously, there's plenty of rumors of wars going on, but do you think we are in that time where we are having the wars, the rumors of wars, or do you think we're getting close to it? Where are you at on that with the signs of the end of the age?
Well, the last phrase, that's Matthew 24:6, but the end is not yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that means there's an extension of time, but we are right now. Think about it. Ukraine, Russia, China, Taiwan, North Korea. That's not only war, but it's rumor of war now, you know, and some of the great men of God that have gone on to be with the Lord, Dimitri Dudeman, Henry Gruber, these men have seen visions of what's going to come to America. And I know that's not popular, but I've always believed if we would repent, God would save a nation. Nineveh repented. The king did not hear the words of Jonah. The king heard the words through hearsay. And Jonah preached judgment of God in 40 days. So the king heard that. He called the city to a fast. He said, the animals, they cannot eat nor drink either. And God stayed his judgment. 120 years later, God did judge Nineveh and wiped it off the map, basically. But we can pray and intercede and change things. I have the power. You have the power to change the future. Now, God gave Abraham an opportunity to pray. In Genesis 19, he says, I'm going to go down. I'm going to visit with Abraham. I'm not going to hide from him what I'm going to do. And then God reveals to Abraham what he's going to do. Why did God do that? Because he gave Abraham an opportunity to intercede in intercessory prayer. And you know the prayer, 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10, all the way down to 10. God said, if there's 10 righteous, I'll spare the cities. but they couldn't be found. That showed me God gave him opportunity to intercede. In other words, God could, I don't want to be disrespectful, but it's as though he could be reasoned with, because Genesis 18:25, Abraham said, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do that which is right? Surely you won't destroy the righteous with the wicked. That's not who you are."
Yep.
And then the negotiation begins. Right now, God is giving you, people like you and I and Dave, a chance to intercede. That's left up to us. Will we pray for America, or will we write America off? I pray for America every day. I pray for our leaders. I want godly leaders. But without true repentance, people aren't going to quit living the lives of sin. You know, so many people live together today, and if it don't work out, hey, we didn't lose a thing. You know, we got a relationship with benefits, but there's no parsing up of the real estate and the assets and those things. We need to just get back to serving God and being humble and loving him. You know, he said, "You're to love me with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your might." When that is restored in people's lives and they really fall in love with Jesus, they'll walk the walk and talk the talk. They'll be honest. They'll be forthright. But just like Washington, you know, Nancy Pelosi, she said she prayed for Donald Trump every day. That's just lip service. You know, she believes in same-sex marriage and abortion and all of that degradation. And I hear rumor, maybe I shouldn't even say it, but she's an alcoholic. She's even been on the congressional floor trying to conduct business under the influence of alcohol. This is the world in which we live in, and people think it's all right. Did you see where Texas the other day, the House Speaker was drunk, trying to legislate, couldn't even pronounce words? Yeah. This is who's leading us.
Yeah, and, you know, I wanted to go back to 24, because I want to ask you your opinion on a few of these verses. And Jesus answered, "See that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray." Currently, Dave and I have done our best to be on top of this whole UFO alien disclosure subject. And I know that there is a large majority of people who believe that aliens seeded life on this earth, and that aliens are going to come back to save us from ourselves, because that's what the UFO experts are out there telling everybody. And probably one of the largest groups of people who listen to all the UFO experts are Christians. I mean, it's I hear it all the time. Look at all the conferences that we've all been to. Yeah. There hasn't been a conference we've been to in probably the last 10 years where aliens and UFOs and monsters hasn't been the subject. So evidently that's what's in men's hearts. What happens when one of these things comes back saying, "I am the Christ"? Do you think people will be led astray?
Absolutely. That's Satan's greatest tool, is deception. "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." Now, I don't believe in UFOs. I believe in fallen angels. And Paul told us in 2 Corinthians 11:14, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So Satan has the ability as an angel to transform himself into something than what you would know he is. And so if that happens, it'll be fallen angels that God made, who are fallen in their nature. As Jews said, they left their first estate. They are fallen in nature, but they can wield a power to change themselves into something else. There are not other aliens and creatures out here, as people think, like E.T. I don't believe in that. There's no scripture for that, but there is much scripture for fallen angels and how they can transform themselves. And then we have all the demon spirits, which I believe the demonic spirits came from the giants who died. I can find no record. I can find no evidence of God ever creating a demonic spirit. These giants had a spirit. A dog's got a spirit, but a dog doesn't have a soul. So these giants, when they died, those entities, those spirits, are demons. and they also can transform themselves to whatever they need to be. So Paul warns us, Satan can come and transform himself into an angel of light. But you see, if you have Christ in your heart, he will warn you, that's not me. That is false. That is fallacy. That is duplicitous. It's not genuine. It is not real. So Satan becomes whatever he needs to be at the time to seduce people, to lure people in. And, you know, incubus and succubus. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, sir.
The women having sex with demonic spirits and men having sex with demonic spirits. They're encountering demonic activity. And it's real. There was some black girl who did a video, a song some years ago, and she said it was so fabulous. It was off the charts. And she felt everything sleeping with this demon. So what I believe, when you get to that point, you are demon possessed yourself to give your body over to yield to that kind of power. This is why we're seeing such an explosion of sin, because of all these entities manifesting themselves in so many different ways. And this is why it's going to be hard, mentally hard, for people to discern and know the truth, because there's so much fallacy out there. Think about this. Everything they said about Donald Trump was all a lie. The Mueller report, Russia hoax, everything, none of it was ever true. What makes people think today that what they're accusing him of now is true? When they raided Mar-a-Lago and said, turn off the security system, I said then, who's to say the FBI does not plant something in there to get him?
Well, they wouldn't even let his lawyer in to observe, which by law she had the right to do. Yeah, you're exactly right. I want to go back to the fallen angels thing.
Okay.
Do you think the UFO and ET phenomena that we're seeing, is this a deception on the part of demonic spirits?
Absolutely.
Okay.
This is why Paul said he will transform. That word transform in the Greek is metamorphosis. It's a changing. Think about this. I've been dwelling on this, and I don't have all the answers here. Yeah. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. The other time we see that word is Mount Transfiguration. Now we're looking at transgenderism. So they're taking a spiritual application and now trying to make it a physical application by surgery and hormone replacement therapy and all of this garbage. It's a transformation, but it's not a godly transformation. It's a wicked transformation.
You know, Pastor, one of the professions I've had in my past is that of a mental health therapist. And in my training, we used DSM-4R, I believe it was. And transgenderism is a mental illness, standalone mental illness. They've changed it now for political reasons. And then they also said, typically almost 100%, you have dual diagnosis. So you have the mental illness of transgenderism, and then you have the dual diagnosis, usually personality disorders in droves. And these people, what we used to do in the old days is they had to go through psychological evaluation, psychological counseling, before they could have surgery. And at that time, the only place you could go get the surgery was in Trinidad, Colorado. Now it's like 7-Eleven, and there's a transgender conversion facility on every block. But I think there's a bigger issue, and I want to get your reaction to this. The people that are pushing this agenda, the LGBTQ, whatever letters there's left, they are promoting everything that doesn't value the family and procreation.
Well, they're demon-possessed, Dave. When you take on that spirit, you know, we're straight. Praise God, we're straight. But when that spirit comes into that person, you know, I'm going to be a little candid here. You can rebuke me, but I've heard the term, you both have heard it. He's a flaming queer. When you go back to Romans 1, it says they burned with lust. If you look at that word burn in the Greek, it means flaming. And I thought, whoever said that phrase, flaming, either didn't know what they were saying or knew that God had made that in the Greek application. And so, as you well said, this is to destroy the family, the reproduction of offspring. I mean, it's just common sense. You know, I told a guy one time, I said, if you put a 500 bulls in a pasture and you come back 40 years later, how many bulls would you have? He said 500. I said, you wouldn't have any. They'll all be dead. They cannot procreate. So this is the enemy. Satan is putting this fallacy into their hearts and into their minds to destroy humanity. That is another way of depopulating the earth. Mm-hmm. And furthermore, they have to recruit. Since they cannot procreate, they go after our children and our grandchildren and seduce them. And when they molest these little children, they tell them, if you tell your mama or your daddy, I'll kill them. So now the child is so oppressed, they won't say anything to their parents, and they live their lives thinking, this pedophile is going to kill my mom and my daddy if I rat him out. It's all control mentally, and it's demonic at the end of the day.
You know, you talked about the bulls. Our family, we have a poultry farm. I've never collected rooster eggs to this day. But it is a death cult. It is. And
it is.
You know, I'm going to pull up Antifa again. You have this new offshoot of it. It's called Transtifa. And the one aspect to be spoken about in all this is the violence, the lawlessness, the lack of empathy, the lack of love, brotherly love. Philadelphia, there is none. It's a different kind of brotherly love. It's a Greek version of brotherly love.
Right.
And it is, they are very militant. They are very dangerous. And when I say they, it's a broad brush that I'm brushing with. Not everybody's dangerous. Not everybody's militant. I think some people are just generally confused and sick, and they need Jesus a little bit more than they need the drugs.
Amen.
But the other half is extraordinarily violent. When we were on the riot lines, I was a supervisor in Portland, Oregon, when all this was going on. And we're dealing with all these groups of people. There was a commonality that we saw with all of them. They all had something satanic. They're all in black, okay? And that's the black block. They'd all hide their faces because they're all a bunch of little crybaby cowards. Can't stand up against real men because they'd run and scream. Most of them were teenagers in early 20s. Zero experience in life, but let me tell you how you need to live yours. And right. Every single one of my guys, every single one of us, are veterans with combat experience and with about this much tolerance. And here we are dealing with these people. And they would wear Baphomet Halloween hats, the Baphomet demon hat.
Right.
And they would, the most horrendous stuff sexually they would do with each other in front of us. And I'm just sitting here the whole time thinking, well, for one thing, this doesn't happen in Texas. And then it did happen in Texas. It happened in Dallas and the riots in Dallas. I was there for that. And then it happened in Austin. And I'm like, if this is happening in the places where the real men, quote, real men are left, there isn't very much hope, because I never saw a group of men come out and say, hey, you're going to stop this. Stand in between the riot line and us and say, hold on, officers, we got this. Instead, they would sit back and they'd film with their cell phones. You know, they'd film us. Oh, they'd laugh. Hey, man, I'll gladly chunk CS grenades into your city and choke you out until you all leave. I got paid a lot of money to do it. But where was the pastors? There was none. On that certain area, none would come. Not a street preacher, not a man walking around prophesying, nothing. People were afraid. Literally, because you would be chased down the road by droves, sometimes hundreds of these people, and they were terrorizing everybody. And I had a little Bible study group that I'd be doing there with some guys, and we talked about this, because out of, you know, 300 or 400 of us that would rotate in and out on these deployments, quite a few of us were Christians. We'd all talk about this in that sense. And we all said the same thing, Matthew 24, this is the age of lawlessness. And what makes me upset, and I talked to Dave about this last night. Dave, you chime in whenever you feel like it. it's the police's fault that it's happening. Because we're supposed to be the peacekeepers. But instead, we listen to the politicians. And the politicians have already gone to hell and want to drag us with them. So instead of telling the politicians no and our corrupt supervisors no, telling the FBI to go pound sand and just saying, we're going to start arresting everybody who breaks the law, from the judge to the DA to the Supreme Court to the White House. Who's going to stop us? There's more police than there are military. But we don't do it.
Yeah, they're given over to. There's a scripture, John 8:44. Jesus said, ye of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So anybody that is not a Christian has the propensity, the proclivity to do what Satan does. And Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And when you look at our society, everything that we're witnessing, the collapse, the immorality, the dishonesty, the perversity, the lawlessness, it's killing, stealing, and destroying. That's the nature of Satan. So when people are not serving God, they may not even want to admit it, but that's their nature. Because the Bible said no man can serve two masters. So if you're not serving the Lord, you're serving the devil. And I know that offends some people sometimes. Well, I'm a good person. I'm this and that. No. That's why he said there's none righteous, no, not one. We don't have enough righteousness in ourselves to save us. Thus, we needed a Savior. We needed Jesus to die for our sins. Then we turn on the path we're going down, and we turn to serve the Lord. And everything about us changes. That's what it means to be born again, as Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3. When you're born again, and that's a spiritual application, you live a different life because you are born again by the Spirit of God.
Really well said. I go to some churches, Pastor, and particularly one of them is a monolithic church. And they say things that are relevant, like, the call to the altar, get baptized, and they really push that. That's real. That's so important. But where they fall short is they don't teach the people about how God would view abortion, homosexuality. That never enters the discussions in a church. It's so politically correct, it just makes me want to throw up.
Well, sure it does. See, nobody wants to mention the word sin. Abortion is a sin. Drunkenness is a sin. Fornication is a sin. Adultery is a sin. Drunkenness, lying. I mean, even Revelation 21:8 says all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. And so you're right. What they're advocating, Dave, is a spirit of religion. Christ is not religious. Christ is a relationship. It's admitting I'm wrong, he's right, he died for my sins, and I'm going to serve him as you would serve if you were a servant in a home or something. We serve him because we love him. It's our love that causes us to do the right thing and serve him. But you're so right. The book of prayers, the litany, all the liturgy, all this stuff. It's just it's the trappings of men. Jesus always got to the point, just like with the woman at the well. He was very gentle and very becoming initially. And he said, you know, the man you're living with now, it's not your husband. You've had five before him. He got her into a place and he dealt with her sin. And then she drank of the fountain of living water, which was spiritual application. But he didn't let her go and didn't address her sin. He addressed her sin. And she said, she went back into the town. She said, come see a man that told me all I ever did. She was born again by the Spirit of God. That's that living water that Christ was speaking of. And so she turned from her ways.
Well, if our pastors aren't going to do their job and basically try to bring people to the word of Christ in not just their commitment and ask for forgiveness, but in their daily living, then what's the way back for America if our pastors aren't going to lead by example?
Well, those I don't call them pastors. They're hirelings. They're there for a paycheck.
Okay. 501c3, is that?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I mean, that's just, that's the nature of the beast. It's going to, you know, God's going to do things different in here in the end. He'll use guys just like you to get the truth out, who are not cowardice in spirit, but love the Lord and are going to tell the world about the Lord. And yes, it'll bring persecution. It'll bring castigation. They'll impinge who you are and what you are. But that's all right. Because Jesus said, if you don't worship me, he said, the rocks will cry out and worship me. If the preachers and the pastors don't preach the word, God will start raising up lay people to tell the truth. Though they were never, you know, ecumenical or whatever the case, they love God and they see the need for the right message.
Do you think that when you say the ecumenicals will rise up, do you think that means like a small home worship with family and friends?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be in the midst. I believe that's why, I believe that was like a provision that he put in the scriptures. If you can't get to church, or, you know, our land is desolate because of war, he said, if two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He made a provision for us.
I've actually had guys who have rebuked me because I don't go to a mainliner church anymore, or mainstream church.
Sure.
Me and my wife had a little Baptist church that only sat about 20 people in Colmas Neal, Texas. It's not even on the map. That was the church that we went to. But being up here, we've been to multiple different churches, and I feel like I'm walking into, you know, the Valley of Dry Bones every time. And I've actually had some disputes, even with pastors, that I didn't try to have a dispute. I just don't tolerate. One thing, I don't tolerate cowardliness, especially not in men. We don't have an excuse for it. To me, I can't tolerate two things: a dog that doesn't listen, and a man who's a coward. Being a houndsman and hunting with dogs, if a dog don't listen, get rid of it. I don't need it. It's a bad tool. And I think the same thing with pastors who they have this soft-handed approach. And look, you're nice, you're kind, you got your $5,000 Rolex and your $8,000 suit. You rolled in here in your Mercedes. You look pretty. You look pretty, you know. But no one's scared to leave here and sin.
Right.
And yeah. I think that's a problem here in America. If we go to verse 9 of Matthew 24, it says, they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Not for Donald Trump's sake, not for America's sake, not for your favorite milkshake, for Jesus' name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. This reminds me of 2020 here in Dallas, Texas, probably the biggest million-person church that's out there had at least a 50-by-40 flag hanging on the side of the building that says Black Lives Matter on it.
Wow.
Now, up in Portland, where we were at, I say Portland all the time because I think it was a place that, if you've never been to Portland, Oregon, it is not America. It's walking into the future communism of America. And every church had a pride flag and a Black Lives Matter flag. And we talked to some of the parishioners, some of the leaders of the churches, because we would tell them, hey, there's protests coming, you know, make sure that you guys are squared away, you'd lock your buildings up. And I've asked them, it's like, hey, you know, sir or ma'am, why do you have a Black Lives Matter flag up? Oh, so they won't burn our church down.
Wow.
Yeah.
So just bend the knee.
Bend the knee is correct. And let me give you another example. Pastor, again, in a large church that my family was attending, this assistant pastor is giving a sermon, and he was working off of Romans 13. And he said, the leader may not be a godly man, but he's God's man, and you got to do what he says. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm agreement. You're in scripture here, but isn't there a but, a however? Go ground up 6 million Jews and kill them. I don't think I follow that leader. And it bothered me. And my neighbor and I talked to the individually. We talked to one of the officials of the church, and they didn't take it seriously.
Wow.
And I just said, there has to be an exception to following. I mean, you look at Dieter Bonhoeffer. I mean, he went to his death standing by his faith.
That's right.
And I should have heard that from that pastor at that time.
You know, it's funny you bring up Dietrich Bonhoeffer because I've studied his life. He took a stand against Hitler, and he had 2,000 pastors supporting him until he went to prison. And it was because he went to prison, they shunned to stand up and declare the word of God.
Yeah.
And Niemöller was the same way. Hitler didn't kill him, but he hanged Dietrich Bonhoeffer. This is the fear. But what you have there in those churches is, again, as I said, they're just hirelings. That's not a man of God. And we are only to submit to righteous governance. We don't submit to wicked evil. It's like abortion. They say it's the law. Of course, Roe v. Wade's been overturned, but states can still do it. That didn't make it right in the sight of God. You know, the root word of righteousness is right, R-I-G-H-T. When you're doing right things, you are a righteous person. When you're doing wrong things, you're an unrighteous person. It's very simple. And so we measure things, and God gave every man a conscience. Let me say this. Other than the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, the highest level of authority in your life is your conscience. Your conscience will always tell you what to do, and it'll always tell you to do what is right. But if your conscience becomes seared, you won't know what's right. That's Romans 1:28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So this is what's happened to our nation. We have reprobates running the nation, reprobates out here on the streets saying, hey, transgenderism is all right. Body mutilation, all of this stuff, it's not right. Because it's wicked, and if it's not right, then God's not in it. That's the test. If something is right, that's a part of two and two is four. God is about all truth and righteousness.
Pastor, were you aware in California, it's and also Colorado, it's illegal to try to change someone's mind about transgenderism? And to me, that's blasphemy against the Word of God. You can't invoke the Word of God to help these people.
I mean, again, it just shows you how much we are deteriorating. And to think we have legislators, what kind of mind do they have to pass that kind of legislation and make it law? This is the tyranny that we're under in America, and most people don't even realize it.
And then they still say, God bless America.
Yeah. Listen, I'm so tired of that. I'm embarrassed to ask God to bless this nation. Maybe I'm too proud to ask God to bless it. Maybe that's a fault of mine. But God has blessed us so much. And what have we done with it? We just keep shoving him further and further out and away from us. And in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's no longer in the church. He's knocking on the door saying, will somebody let me in? And we are the church. The body of Christ is the church, not a building, but people. And we have to open up our heart's door, spiritually speaking, and let him take up place. And when he lives there, he will correct us and reprove us and rebuke us, whatever we need to do. And when we read our Bibles, he'll quicken us with his word. And that'll bring something to our mind that, hey, the Bible says this, the Bible says that. That's our roadmap, the word of God. Psalms 119, verse 50, David said, this is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The word of God is the only living book in the world. And because that scripture is alive, when it touches my heart, it quickens me. It energizes me. It uplifts me. It edifies me. Nothing but the word of God can do that. You can read a lot of books. They can be inspirational, but the word of God will heal you mentally, spiritually, emotionally. The word of God is a living book that touches people's life if they'll just submit to it. I'm always amazed at men who say, I'm going to read the Bible and I'm going to show you where it's wrong. And they end up giving their hearts to the Lord.
A lot of those are scientists. I've met a lot of them.
Yeah, isn't that great?
It is awesome. It's just, God can use so many things to bring people around, but I want to move this towards a conclusion, and I hear what you're saying. We need to get to the Word and be in the Word. But can you kind of complete this thought? The way back for America to be a republic, to be a Christian nation again, could you expand on that a little bit?
Dave, the only way I see that happen is, I said earlier, we must repent. You know, the word repentance means you turn from your way 180 degrees and you go the opposite direction. If people would fall in love with Christ, could, you know, it's just like if we were to get together, the grand feeling and emotion of fellowship. You know what I'm saying? I don't get that with the world. I get that with guys like you. You know, leaving here today has edified me, strengthened me, because we're on the same plane. We're talking about the same thing. We're loving the same Lord, reading the same word, living by the same Holy Spirit. That's what brings the unity, and that's why we're so divided. You got a faction in the world who hates God, and then you have another faction who wants to serve God. And so we're bumping heads. We're bumping heads. And the only thing that can stop that, God can heal that, but it takes humility on both parties' mindset. Say, okay, Lord, I'll accept the correction. I will repent. I will say that transgenderism is wrong. You have to identify some things and acknowledge they're wrong. You talk about dealing with people, counseling. There has to be some admission somewhere along the line to get help.
That has to be a level of self-awareness that change is needed.
Yeah.
And exactly. And the Lord provides that opportunity. This is what so irritates me about today's pastors, is everything they need to bring people closer to God and turn things around is at their disposal, and they're not doing it.
Because they're really living in a humanistic way.
Exactly.
They're religious, but it's humanism. It's, well, we can do it this way. We can do it that way. We can get therapy. Listen, I came back to the Lord June the 6th, 1978. I drank more liquor than you could haul in a gasoline truck tanker, smoked pot by the bales, gambled, lived in the nightclubs. And the night I gave my heart to the Lord, I stopped all of that. I didn't get any counseling. I did have a little bit of problem with one thing. I'd get upset and curse. It took me about a good year where I could get upset and not curse, but I quit all of that stuff. You know why? Jesus changed my life. The Spirit of God took up residence in my life, and He was always correcting me to this day. At 68 years of age, He still corrects me when I do something wrong, say something wrong, handle something wrong. Not that I'm living in sin, but He's making us like Him. You know, the Lord's not trying to make anybody a better Baptist, a better Methodist, a better Presbyterian. He's trying to make them a better Christian, make them more like Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does.
I couldn't agree with you more. Doug, final words?
I just don't want to be like Israel's irresponsible leaders, because America has become children of transgression. Offspring of deceit. What is that? Isaiah 57, I think. Mm-hmm. And you know, we are falling in line with what the world wants and not what God wants. And the world wants us destroyed. And I think if we don't change our wicked ways, stop our sinning, get right with the Lord, because too many people play games with God. I did that for way too long. And now God has quickened me to the point where when I started this podcasting stuff, I was doing a lot of historical stuff, a lot of politics. Within the past several months since November, God's quickened me to almost be doing, you know, stuff, Bible study stuff, almost every day. And I think it's because the times are coming that you're not going to hear this word anymore. I mean, when we talk about the abomination of desolation coming, this stuff is, Dave, we're not going to be here anymore. Pastor, you're not going to be able to do this anymore.
No, not on the airwaves. We're not. Yep. That's real clear.
So
yeah, you know, unless we have a turnaround. But you know, today I did a podcast on this. The Pentagon has announced they're going to follow people that say bad things about generals. My point is they're compiling lists all over the place.
Yeah.
And then they have listening devices in your home, whether it's Alexa. You heard about the guy who got locked out of his home by Bezos Amazon stuff, and it's because he said something they thought was unflattering. And so they took it upon themselves to lock him out of his home.
I saw
they're
that.
Gonna, they're going to spy on us for being Christians. They're going to spy on us for being righteous. And they're going to spy on us for not submitting to evil.
This is the infrastructure of the Antichrist.
This is exactly coming. And you're right, Doug. We won't be here much longer. And this is why we've got to take advantage of the opportunity we have. Pastor, how do people follow your great work?
They want to go to my website, www.thevoiceofevangelism.com. But to be okay if I prayed before we dismiss?
Well, I was going to ask that. Yes.
Well, we're all in the same spirit and doing the right place. Let's just pray and ask the Lord to take this program and use it for his glory. Father, we humbly come before the throne of grace. I thank you for the opportunity today to have shared the word of God from your most holy word. I pray for every listener, Lord. I pray that you will touch their hearts and touch their lives. I pray for every husband. God, you would make him a man of God, where he would rise up and be a leader in his family, instructing his wife and children that they must serve you, the King of glory. As Joshua said, choose you this day whom you shall serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father, I do pray for America. I do pray for revival. I do pray that Holy Ghost conviction would sweep over this nation, Lord. You're the God of all flesh. You can do anything. I ask you to humbly move, Lord, in this nation. I know there are those who say, don't pray for America. But Lord, I'm going to pray for America until I can no longer pray for America. I ask you now, Lord God, to touch Dave and Doug, touch their hearts, their lives, their families, everything they put their hands to do, Lord. I pray your blessing upon it and to use it for the glory of God, Father. And we ask it all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. This has been quite the show, and let's hope that it reaches people in a way that will help them be more productive, because we need to start a counter movement. Selfishly, I'd like to push off the tribulation to later generations. I mean, but I know I don't have a choice, so I've got to deal with what's in front of me at that time. But I'm hoping revival does come. Pastor, thank you so much for sharing. Doug, impressive stuff with your recall of scripture that was timely to what we were doing. I was impressed. Anyway, gentlemen, it's always a pleasure to be with you. I'm Dave Hodges. He's Doug Thornton. And together we're the Doug and Dave Intel Report. And our guest has been, our special guest has been Pastor Langford. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Thank you. God bless you all.
Take care, Pastor. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.